Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. My name is Josue Villa. I'm associate pastor here at Pflugerville Community Church, and I'm filling in for Pastor Steve, who's out of town visiting family, doing spiritual work with a lot of people wearing purple out in Kansas. So they should be back sometime soon. But I want to start. We have a lot of kids here this morning as they remained here. I want to ask, because the kids might know the answer to this, all right? And I know there's this question, and I know the answer for the questions at church are usually Jesus, but not this one, okay? So does anyone know which big-time celebrity was in town last night? Anyone know? Kids are supposed to know this. Yes. All right, yeah, Taylor Swift. And if you don't know who Taylor Swift is, well, you're not hip. Right? Hip, is that a cool word? No. Well, kids know who Taylor Swift is, and apparently some grown men too. She's a popular musician, singer, songwriter. I know my girls like listening to her music, and as well as a lot of other kids, and she's very popular. If you like Taylor Swift, I want you to imagine something, or maybe you don't know her. Maybe you can imagine, think of your favorite musician or actor or athlete, someone else you'd like to meet. But imagine, if you like Taylor Swift, that she invited you to her concert, that she got you front row seats to the event, she got you a backstage pass, invited you to have dinner, private dinner with her. And she was going to pay for it all. Now, how many of you would accept that invitation? Most of us would, right? It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. Well, Jesus once told a parable of an even greater invitation. A parable, if you don't know, is a story that teaches the truth about God and His kingdom. And this parable that Jesus told is found in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 23, and we're going to spend some time there this morning. But Jesus, just to give you some background, Jesus told this story at a party that he had been invited to. It was on a Sabbath. He had been invited to a Pharisee's house, and there at that party, he had healed a man who had come to ask him for help. This man had an illness, and he healed him. And Jesus knew what the Pharisees and everyone at that lunch were thinking about him. So he confronted their attitudes. He confronted their lack of love. And he asked them a question. He asked them, would any of you save your son or one of your animals if they fell into a well on a Sabbath? And of course they all would. And so he says, so would God's son. God's son would save anyone, any of God's children, including a Sabbath. And he also noticed at this party that people would walk in and take the best seats, the seats of honor. And so he confronted them with another truth. And he told them all, you know, when you're invited to a dinner party, you should be humble. And instead of taking the highest places, the highest seats of honor, you should take the lowest places. And when you have a feast, he told them, don't just invite your friends and people like you. Invite the poor and the lowly and the needy, and you will be blessed. And so you can imagine, as Jesus is confronting their attitudes of their heart and their thoughts, you can imagine that there was a lot of tension in this room. And so someone decides to speak up to break up that tension. And it starts there in verse 15. One of those at the table with him heard him say all these things, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. It's like this man was making a toast to break the tension. He says, blessed are the ones who will sit and eat with God in God's kingdom. And he thought that everyone would agree with him and say, yep, that's true. We'll all be all right when we're all sitting around God's banquet table. And so Jesus, to confront his beliefs, tells them a parable about who will truly sit at God's banquet table. Verse 16, Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come. Blame it on my wife." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told the servant, "Go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full." So in this parable, Jesus is teaching a great truth. The rich man in this story is God. The banquet or the feast represents the kingdom, God's kingdom. And so the question to who's invited to God's great banquet is answered, and who will show up? And Jesus says that the first ones who are invited are those in the inner circle. There's many who are invited, but first are those that are in the inner circle. Now we see in the story that the man is obviously wealthy. The one that throws the banquet, obviously wealthy. You had to be to throw these kinds of parties. And so he invites his friends and family and people in his circle. In the ancient world, you know, it was custom to make 2 invitations. The first invitation was to see who would come. "Hey, I'm throwing this great party. Who wants to come?" It was like an RSVP kind of invitation. Now, life in those days wasn't dictated by clocks and calendars, so there was no date or time set. It was just sometime in the future, sometime later. And so the second invitation was then to announce when everything was ready. "Hey, everything's ready. Now you can come." Now, these banquets were a big deal in those days. A banquet was the highlight of people's social life. It's like somewhat like weddings today. Where you invite a lot of people, you spend a lot of money feeding people, entertaining people. And so, since it's such a great expense, you invite people you know, people who are close to you. And so Jesus is trying to get something across to them. There's a lot of meaning behind this parable. The inner circle are the Jews. They're God's people. They had the covenants, the law, the promises. And they had received this first invitation through the prophets. You see, throughout time, they had been promised a Messiah, that a Savior would be coming, someone that would deliver them. And in Isaiah 25, when this Messiah is announced to the people, this Messiah was described as someone who would invite people to this great feast with lots of food and drink. And so then, that's the meaning of that first invitation. Those in the inner circle are the ones who had received that first invitation. So now they were waiting around for that second invitation, when the banquet feast or the kingdom of God would arrive. And Jesus says here in this text that this banquet was a great banquet, and that many guests were invited. In other words, this was a big deal. The man prepared for a big meal because he was expecting many guests that said that they would come. So when the expensive food and the wine were ready and the tables were set and the musicians were ready, the man sent his servant to go and say to the invited guests, "Now you can come. Everything is ready." Are you beginning to see the meaning in all of this? When the second invitation was given, that the doors to the kingdom were open, that the king had arrived and his banquet was now ready for everyone. Those invited first, however, The Bible says, did not receive him, nor did they welcome him. And so what happens next in the story is terribly disappointing to the host. The text says that they all began to make excuses. Not just some, but the text says all of them. One such excuse, we're given here three excuses. One of them, these are just general excuses that most of them came up with. But the first one was, I've bought some land and I need to inspect it. Another one says, I just bought some oxen and I need to go work them. And yet another one, the third one says, I just got married, so I can't come. Now there's a lot written about the interpretations of each of these excuses. But we're limited on time. But one thing is clear about all of these. That other things simply became more important than this great celebration. You see, they all got sucked in into what all sinners get sucked into. Other priorities. Like money or business deals, careers. Or even family relationships, family matters, love of self, and love of what the world has to offer. You see, priorities that we rationalize are often legitimate. But we see from Jesus' own words that this invitation greatly dishonored the Master, greatly dishonored God's invitation of grace. And so the host is terribly disappointed that his inner circle of friends and family will not come to the banquet. You see, God had been rejected. God had been disrespected. His goodness, kindness, and generosity have been treated with scorn and contempt. And so the man in the parable does not want all the food and drink to go to waste. So he tells, well, if they won't come, he tells his servant, if they won't come, then I want you to go out into the streets. Go out into the alleys of the town. Search every corner of the city and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now here we find the second group that are invited to the banquet. Now these were not the people that were usually invited to high society banquets. And so this list represents a certain group of people. The forgotten, the rejected, the neglected. You remember the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5? Who will inherit the kingdom? Jesus says the meek, the lowly, the humble. And so you can imagine when this servant goes out to extend the invitation to the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, you can just imagine how surprised these people must have been receiving the news. They were invited to a banquet. Who would do such a thing? Who would invite the lowly and undeserving people? Well, Jesus was saying a gracious God would. A loving and merciful God would extend his invitations to all kinds of people to his table. And this falls in line, what Jesus is talking about here, falls in line with who the people Jesus invited to follow him. The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, the broken, the hurting, the sinners. Those who could see that they were undeserving of such grace and kindness, yet were so grateful to be receiving it. You see, the banquet includes those that we don't see as deserving. The hungry, the thirsty, the lowly people who are receptive to God's grace. And so the servant says, we've invited them all. And they're here. And yet, there's still room for more. And so the master says to the servant, then go. And he extends this invitation to yet another group of people, those who are far away. He says to his servants, go out to the roads, go out to the country lanes. Another version of the scripture says highways and hedges. In other words, not just the outsider people in town, but go out on the roads outside the city. Go to the people that don't even know the host. Jesus is clearly talking about the Gentiles, that they are will now be invited to the banquet. Those that didn't have the promises or the covenant. Remember a couple of weeks ago, hopefully you remember the message from Ephesians 2, how Paul described this group of people, Gentiles, the outsiders, strangers, foreigners, those excluded from citizenship without God and without hope in the world. They're now invited. You see, God is not done with people. Not yet. He loves and cares for people who are far away. He cares for the unbeliever. He cares for the rebellious son or daughter. He cares for those that are living in sin and darkness. He cares for the addict. He cares for those that are lost and without hope in this world. Jesus came to teach us that God cares. That he sent his son to redeem this broken world. That God is not out to get anyone. See, that's how many people view God, that he's just an angry God and he's ready to just beat up on you. God is not out to bring wrath on people who are lost. Not yet. The most known verse in scripture is probably John 3:16. We know that, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. But the next verse, verse 17, should also be known by everyone. Scripture says, Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through Christ. You see, Jesus is not out to condemn, and neither should his followers. Jesus came to invite people to his table, to his banquet, people who are without God. And the church should too. That's our job. That's our mission. That's our task. That should be our top desire, because that's God's greatest desire, is for people to come and know him and find peace and be welcome. In the parable, Jesus used a strong word on how to reach this people group. Did you catch that? Not just invite them. He says compel. That's right. Compel them to come in to my house, for my house must be full. You see, this speaks to the urgency in God's heart for people to belong. He wants us to have this same urgency to bring people to Christ, to invite them, to compel them by the way that we live, by the way that we love them, by the way that we treat people, by the way that we behave. We're not earning anything by our behavior, but it's part of our witness to the world. To compel people. He wants us to have this urgency, just like Christ had this urgency. And so, since God has been so gracious to us, our task is to compel people to come and taste of God's table, to taste of his goodness, to let them know that they are invited. And I hope that you've caught on this whole series, Walls, that we've been doing over the last few weeks. That's what this whole series is all about. That we would know and understand how big God's heart is for all people. Just in I've been here about a year and a half, going on 2 years in Pflugerville, and just in the time that I've been here, this city has just exploded. I just think God loves people so much that he will take them anywhere, to where they will be exposed to a friend or neighbor. The Bible says that we've all been placed in a certain place, in a certain time, so that others would reach for Him. You know, there's a reason why God placed us in our neighborhoods, in whatever neighborhood you're in. To be a light to the world, to be friend, not only be friendly to people, but to compel them, if they don't know God, to come and know and taste of His goodness. That as a church, we too would invite and welcome people just like Jesus welcomes people. That no one among us would ever feel like an outsider or a stranger. When they come and to worship, when they come to be part of God's family, no one should ever feel unwelcomed. Through Christ's death, all are invited to belong. All are invited to taste of His goodness and forgiveness and healing and joy. And in fact, in Scripture, in Revelation, heaven is described as a place where people of every nation, every language, every tribe will be together worshiping God. In other words, we shouldn't be surprised one day when we are in God's kingdom, when we are in heaven, we shouldn't be surprised that on our side will be people that speak other languages, who were from other nations, who also came, were invited and came to God's banquet. Dallas Willard, he was a professor at one of the universities, taught scripture. He's also a theologian. He wrote this about community, about God's kingdom. He says, the aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with Himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. In other words, that's what God's been trying to do all along. It's to create for Himself a people that would belong to Him, and it didn't matter where they came from, didn't matter race or color, what their past has been like. It doesn't matter, of this all-inclusive community where He would be at the center of it all, where He would be the one that we would look to, that there would be no excuses, that He would be the center of our lives, that He would be the center of everything that we do and think and are. That's what God is trying to do through the church, through us. But you know, in this parable, there's one more that's been invited to the banquet table throughout Scripture. It's you and me. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. This is Jesus. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. In other words, not only are you invited, but Jesus wants you to invite Him too. Jesus knocks at the door. Jesus pursues us with all His love. He pursues us with determination. He will not give up on us, on anyone. And He continues to knock on our doors. He says, will you open that door? Will you open your heart? And see, when you open your heart to Him and receive Him, He comes in. And here it's described as another celebration meal. And He's together with you and me. And so, church, we all have this choice. We do. We have this choice to either accept the invitation or reject it. But anyone who rejects Christ will never know or experience the celebration prepared for those that love God's Son. And so we are compelled. We are invited to be part of his great feast. We're invited to his table. We all are. Accept his invitation. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your promises. I thank you so much for the way that you open our eyes, the way that you open our hearts to receive you, to know you, to want to be in your presence, Lord. And God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you've invited us all to your family, that you've invited us all to be part of this great feast. And God, we come now to the communion table as a reminder of the feast that you have prepared for us, Lord. God, I pray that as we participate of communion, God, that we realize and understand what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be called, to be invited. God, help us to accept your invitation with gladness and joy. It's in the name of Jesus, God, that I pray these things. Amen. So as I mentioned, we come now to the communion table where we celebrate that you and I, as undeserving as we are, this is not about whether we deserve it or not. None of us deserve it. But by grace and faith, we're invited and welcome to his great banquet table. We celebrate Jesus and what he has done for us. We celebrate his death and what that has accomplished on our behalf. We celebrate communion with other believers. We celebrate unity. And here's the way we do communion here. We're going to invite our elders and leaders to come up front, and they're going to be placed at different stations with the communion elements, with the bread and the juice, grape juice. And they will serve you communion. You'll take bread, and you'll take the grape juice, which represent the broken body and the blood of our Savior, which takes away our sin. So you'll take that piece of bread, and you'll take a cup, and you'll eat and drink, and these people up here will pray over you. They'll say a short blessing over you and your family. Now, here's the thing. Everyone's invited. Everyone who proclaims faith in Jesus are welcome to participate in communion. It's his invitation, not mine, not any of the leaders here. It's his invitation. So, Lady's going to play some music at this time. You can sit there for a few moments. You don't have to stand in line, but you can come forward and take of communion at this time. We invite you to do that. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here, and we'd like to invite you, if you received a bulletin when you came in, I'd like to invite you to fill it out. There's a tear-off section there. Let us know that you were here. Fill it out with your name and information. And if you write a legible email address, our pastor, Pastor Steve Klim, will write you a welcome email, and that's a good way to get a conversation started. Fill that out. There's pens out in the foyer. I'd love to meet you, too, if you're visiting here with us. Turn it in. There's a basket out there at the information desk, and that'd be a great way to get connected. Well, we do have some homework, but it's for kids. The kids today. What we learned today, kids, right? That as God's servants, we have a task to invite people and even compel them to come and know Christ and to be part of his family. So the homework is for you this today is that we have these invitations for you to invite someone to be your guest at next Sunday's Fall Fest here on campus from 3 to 6 p.m. Great party, great way, great first step to get people connected. Invite them, an easy invitation. So there's a place for you to write your name, who it's from, and who you want to give it to, and And it says, I'd love for you to be my guest at this event. Adults, you also have something similar in your bulletin. So take that opportunity to invite those that God places in your heart. Well, the blessing for today. Oh, by the way, Miss Terry, the children's director, will be handing them out for the kids out in the foyer. So be on the lookout for these and for her out there. But the blessing for today, may the God of love fill us with his grace and his desire and his urgency to compel a broken world to come to the great celebration of God's great banquet. Amen. You're dismissed.